This is Muck's Music Corner. You are listening to episode 2. I got screwed by Sue and Punk.
All right. Episode 2. Here we are. Hope you're all doing well. I'm doing pretty good myself. On the menu today, we have non-rock albums. Pretty surprisingly, I've put all of them together. So we have some pop, some country, some bluegrass. So let's run at it. So we're going to start with Lady Gaga, Mayhem. Keep your mind on the distance when the devil turns around. So Lady Gaga, Mayhem came out in March 7th of 2025. It is 53 minutes long and it is her 6th release. Alright, for this artist, I feel like we need to discuss the history of her career first, to get a sense of where she has been recently. So Lady Gaga came out in the music scene all guns blazing. Her first two records instantly put her on the map for being the next star of pop music in the late 2000s, with a darker and dangerous sound that was different from her peers. Then she kind of wanted to experiment, worked with many different people, and first went with a more standard pop record for the album Art Pop, and then went for a more stripped down instrumentation for her fourth release, Juan, with influence of soft rock and country. Even though her career was not sinking or anything, the two records were not getting the same reviews and intention as her earlier one. I think despite being very talented, she started to shift her sound too early in her career, and with those two records not having the same type and amount of energy, this was not what the big public wanted for her at that point. While this was happening, she started doing a lot of stuff. To start, there is those two records she did with American jazz and traditional pop singer Tony Bennett. That's weird. She had a great performance at the Super Bowl in 2017, and she also started to get into the big screen, mostly starting as secondary or background characters in movies like Machete Kills, Sin City, and American Horror Stories, where she wrote the soundtrack for. But let's be honest, that's not what we're here to talk about. Her career took a big second wind with the release of the movie A Star Is Born, her first time having to be a main role while colliding with Bradley Cooper. The movie was an absolute hit, getting 13 nominations for both the Golden Globes and Academy Awards. She got 2 Minors Award for Best Actress, which is still amazing for a first time lead role, and a record she co-wrote with Cooper won 4 Grammy with the explosion of the song Shallow. So after such a big accomplishment, what now? Well, you could say that all of that was kind of a curse for how your career would go, especially in the acting world. She was getting offered for big roles in big films with big budgets, and the two she agreed to be on, House of Gucci and Joker 2, are some of the worst films in their respective year. They also proved that she was sadly not a high-tier actress who could save a movie from being told dog shit with her performance, even if she was paired with great support actors like Joaquin Phoenix, Adam Driver, Jeremy Irons, Al Pacino, and Jared Leto. The movies were shit, her performance were not helping at all, and there's a reason why no one talked about the music she released for those movies, unlike the one she did in American Horror Story and A Star Is Born. They are not worth checking at all. But there was a good thing that happened with all this. She did release a standard record named Chromatica, something like that. This one being a concept record more on par with her early sound. This one was very strong and was reviewed very well. Now here we are with the new release, Mayhem. This one follows her last record with going back to that darker, chaotic, but fun sound. This time it's a bit different. She went full 90s industrial with this and also made this an entire collab with producer Andrew Watt, who worked with Ozzy Osbourne on his last two albums. Rest in peace, King. She said she really let her love for Nine Inch Nails flow all over this record, and it is very apparent. But I would say it was a very welcome thing to try. It is her now experimenting with new avenues of sound without losing the main things we all love about her music. The record starts extremely strong with Disease and then Abracadabra, which is, I would say, the greatest song she has released in a long time. It is then followed by Garden of Eden and the biggest Nine Inch Nails sounding song, Perfect Celebrity, and then the softer track Vanish Into You, we are all great. If the record goes down this way, we might be on track for something amazing. But here come Killa and Zombie Boy, who are as follow extremely mid and very bad. Those two tracks pretty much stop the momentum of the record, and that would not be the last of the problem. The other half of the record restart to make it feel bloated, and fillers start to happen from now and then. I have said it many times, but if you are a modern pop musician, you should almost never do a record that is over 45 minutes, simply because it defeats the purpose of making a pop record today, who should be punchy, catchy, and leave before it overcomes its tenure. Long are gone the days of artists like Elton John, David Bowie, Peter Gabriel, and such who would make popular music with adventurous, dynamic music and artistic direction worth going for a longer listen. A perfect modern pop record is gonna be around 40 minutes, but once again, her first two record and Chromatica all went 50 minutes and I or so. She used to be the exception of the rule, but it sadly doesn't happen here. The rest of the record are pretty much all good songs, but they do not live up entirely to the quality of the first five tracks. Except for Blade of Grass and the song she worked with Bruno Mars, Die With a Smile, and the records on a very strong note. So despite everything I said, I really do appreciate what she went to do with this record, since very great material came out of it. This thing could have lost a few pounds to have it next to her other great release, but sadly, this thing kinda drags behind them. At least it's good to see her focus back on her music career. Sincerely, stay away from the big screen, LG, it's not working for you right now. Lady Gaga, Mayhem, gets a 7.3 out of 10. Alright, now we're going with Justin Timberlake, Everything I Thought It Was. Say no more, yeah, let's go. You and me when we fucking up the disco. Ooh, what a scene, and we both know. So this record came out in March 15, 2024. I know we're gonna talk about that later. It is an hour and 17 minutes, and it is also its sixth release. So the real reason I went through a big story class about Lady Gaga's career is actually to save me some time with this one, because their career are extremely similar. Justin also came out screaming for vengeance at the start of his solo career. Unlike Gaga, he was able to have all four of his first release without losing any momentum. To be fair, he did have an early jump from his time with NSYNC. I thought all of those albums were very good. And just like Gaga, when I was in high school, as the metalhead that I was, and some people around me were saying new pop music was terrible, I would always point out at those two artists to show them that they were WRONG! He also jumped right into acting. The only difference is he started to star in so much fucking shit. He also seemed to be a way better actor. I'll be honest, I didn't watch most of what he did, because I'll be honest, a lot of what I actually saw was not very good. But he seemed to be at least talented enough to have his performance being a positive in what I saw. He also did three Super Bowl performances. One with NSYNC in 2001, then there's the one in 2004 with Janet Jackson, where we all remember for their early creation of the Free the Nipple movement. That was great. And lastly, another one in 2018. He also started to make a lot of singles for movie scores, including the huge hit Can't Stop the Feeling for the Troll movies. I hate this song so fucking much. It used to play on the radio 10 times a day at my old job in car piece storage. I wanted to bash my brains against a radiator. So his music career as a solo artist was going great, and if he really wanted, he could just totally go to a career of acting and be fine. But then something happened. Well, first of all, even if his records were doing great, they were getting longer and longer over time, and I think it finally hit a wall when he released his latest record, Man of the Woods. That's where he wanted to switch his style with like R&B, funk, and soul music, and that's when we realized that he might not be good at trying new things. This one really did crash down, with overall reviews being either mid or rated poorly, and then he kinda just moved on from releasing LPs. But then 6 years later, here he is. He even got to reunite NSYNC and work on some music for his brand new release entitled Everything I Thought It Was. So did this reunion save it from being a piece of trash? No! This record not only serves up as a follow-up to the last Mid as Hell record he did 6 years ago, but it is somehow even longer? But this time it really did show how long ago he released anything good, because this time, this one was getting even lower reviews. They were way too kind about it. This thing no longer have the cute little argument going for his last failure being, at least he is trying something different. Yes, he did. It didn't work. So Harry's trying again.
I'll fucking do it again. Oh.
So Harry goes for another head first tackle after concussion full Tua style. And yeah, this one here goes the extra mile at being boring and just completely out of anything worth talking about. Seriously, I cannot even go down the track listing on this because nothing stands out as being at least okay outside of the one track he has NSYNC on. Which was the big selling point on this thing. Probably because they knew that not only no one cares nowadays about a new Justin Timberlake album, but also because they knew this thing sucked real bad. Also, I have to declare that technically, this record goes against the rules I have laid down for myself, since this thing came out literally in the middle of 2024. But because it was so damn long and made me not thrill about listening to it, I also by accident saw it was being called bad online. So I decided to wait it out until the start of this year, where I went back to the late release of 2024 and realized, oh shit, I forgot about this one. And so I went back to it and regretted it. It saddens me that this record might be the telltale signs that Justin might have moved to irrelevance in the world of music, especially after releasing something as tepid as this. Should have probably just switched to an acting career at this point. Sincerely, stay away from the music studio, GT. It's not working for you right now. Justin Timberlake, Everything I Thought It Was, gets a 2.3 out of 10. Alright, so next we're going with Avril Jensen. Is Any of This Real? Where did you bury me? This came out in October 4th of 2024, it is 42 minutes long, and it is our first full LP. Alright, so let's get into some local artists, which means for me, French Canadians. Before I go there, I do need to tell how I discovered the next two artists. Back in 2022, something cool was happening with my Facebook feed, because it was showing me a lot of posts about local artists that I have never heard. Was mostly reels about the new singles of their up and coming new release or whatever. For the ones that was interested in trying out their new release whenever it would came out, I followed their page and saved the post of their single so that I would hopefully see it again and remember. Regretfully, I am very stupid, so I ended up forgetting. Now the cool thing that happened is since I followed their page, I ended up seeing their new post about their now new project, and made me realize that I passed on them years ago. So this time I did not fail my task. So Avril Jensen, being one of those people I had discovered when she made her Colors EP, but this time it was her very first LP that I was gonna discover. Before I did listen to it, I went back to see some reviews for her LP, of course because of local music, I didn't find a lot of those. But the ones I did found all describe her as very, very Billie Eilish-esque. I took that info for whatever it was worth and went to my first listen. And I was totally surprised by this. First of all, even if you can see the similarities vocal-wise with Billie, and even if musically the song like Guilty of Arson is pretty close sounding, most of the record is very different. The entire thing is darker and more on the mellow, pretty and atmospheric side of things. It also is filled with folky pop, acoustic guitar, piano, vocal harmonies, sometimes jazzy or funky bass, and a very subtle but effective soundscape, who gives it a good aesthetic. Pretty much straight up my alley. The more I would listen to this, the more I started to extremely appreciate this, and ended up loving pretty much every song on this thing. More specifically, songs like Nowhere to Be Found, What Should I Do About Those Who Care, Elizabeth, and the opening and closing track, who are connected to each other, and the track 11:11, or 11 o'clock and 11? I don't know. Even the small interlude in there is very effective in hunting. I cannot really honestly think of much bad things to say about this. Even the few tracks that I feel are not totally on the same level as most of the content here are very good. I think the record stands on its own compared to the Billie Eilish clone I sold on beforehand. I would say that this sounds way more strong, focused, and mature than even Billie Eilish's last record, which I did really enjoy. Not only I think she knocked it out of the park with this being her first full-fledged album, this has a legit chance to make my best of the year. Yeah, I'm now very excited for her future release. To the moment I am writing this, I believe she made two new standalone singles. Great. So I am very happy to know there is more to come. Avril Jensen, is any of this real? Is getting a 9.3 out of 10. Alright, so right now let's get with Genevieve Rassett, Golden. I say she's prettier. So this one came out in October 18th of 2024, it is 41 minutes long, it is her fourth release. So this being another artist that came hunting me back on my Facebook feed years after my failure of a brain to look him up, this time realizing that this one here have been running around the scene for longer, this being her fourth album. Before going into this one, I do have to explain my difficult relationship with modern country music. Even if I have a ton of love for the very early stage of the genre, to me country music started to switch in the 80s to disguised pop song with acoustic guitar, a singer with twang and possibly a banjo. Even the lyrics in the past would flow to many subjects, also being more focused on storytelling. Now you would be very lucky to listen to anything else than breakup and hangover songs. There is a reason why I had no intention to listen to the new Morgan Wallen album, mainly because he is the epitome of the success of beyond boring and dull music, but his records are so ridiculously long and bloated they might as well be medically obese. So despite being a jar that the popular stuff is no longer for me, I do know where to look, I have my artists that I still love, and I never totally gave up on listening to new stuff coming from that branch of music. Because country music at its best is so uniquely beautiful. So just to make clear that I'm not going into listening to a country album with bad intentions, and I wouldn't listen to it unless I was interested in it. Now the first thing that hits you listening to this for the first time is that it is clearly very bare-bone, simplistic and acoustic-heavy kind of acoustic music. Everything sounds very natural and clear. That can work as a double-edged sword. Depending on the material itself, it can either make everything sound beautiful and earnest, and on the other side, can make everything boring and bland. On the lyric side, yeah, it has its own share of breakup song and hangover songs. Well, there's actually a song about getting sober, which as a past raging alcoholic, I appreciate. But it also speaks a lot about self-image and aging, which is kind of interesting. I say kinda because the lyrics here are more on the straight to the point side of writing, instead of the more poetic side. Both ways of what I call the axis of lyrical style can be great, but there's a thing as being too simple or too poetic. One will end up sounding lazy, the other will seem pretentious, and both of them will sound cringy as hell. For this situation, it does get a bit too simplistic at times for me. But here's the thing, even though I totally disagree that lyrics don't matter, my mentality is, if you decide to sing words, it's your job to make it interesting. So, if the music can speak for itself, then there is no problem. And that's what's going on here. The lyrics might sometimes seem weak, but the melody of which they are being sung upon are great, and every single song on here are very well written and surprisingly strong. The production and its direction, like I was describing earlier, does this thing a big favor by letting the song breathe, and since I already stated my bitching about country music in general, I can let it slide if it's actually great as this. Listen to this again, and watching over the tracklist, the entire thing is just extremely consistent and almost all songs all have the same level of quality to them. Only song that goes beyond for me is I Hope It Hurts, which is my favorite, funnily enough, it's the biggest breakup song here. So this thing really did surprise me, and I'm definitely now adding her to the list of country artists. I will patiently wait for them to give me more of the genre. Genevieve Rassett, Golden, gets a 8.9 out of 10. Alright, so the last one for you guys today is Billy String's Highway Prayers. So this one came out at the 27th of September 2024. It is an hour and 14 minutes long, and it is his fourth full release. So this one was a request from my good buddy RJ, Twitch streamer and has a sport podcast, gonna figure out a way to share stuff here to support the homie. Even though with how I felt about country music and stuff, and also saw that this thing was 75 minutes long, I was kind of worried about this. But me and him dig the same kind of music, especially with the ancient stuff. So I went to his recommendation and listened to this thing. Funny enough, right after putting the record in my new release playlist, even before listening to it, I started to magically see his name a bit everywhere, even though I have never heard of the guy. Pretty much making me realize that despite being pretty young and only at his fourth full release, and only at the start of his career, he was a big deal. Played on stage with some big names from both the country and rock world, which was interesting. So I started listening to it, and the first thing I was wrong about is this is a bluegrass record mostly, which I was pretty glad to figure it out at first, but once again, in the back of my head reminding that this was gonna be a long listen, so I still had my doubts. Going back to what I said in earlier reviews, going over an hour for a record, you better play hard with dynamics to feel like the music is flowing and moving well so it doesn't feel like a long hum. The good thing is that Billy actually does that very well here. Yes, you have your stereotypical bluegrass at full gas song on there, and they are strong. But he does more stripped down acoustic song and also plays around with other music styles. Song like Gild the Lily or My Alice goes for a more country soft rock direction to calm the music down. Some are very folk heavy instrumentals to let him and other musicians show their skills. Songs like Escanaba and Malfunction Junction. Some songs like 7 Weeks in County, More Bud for Me and Richard Petty are going for straight up old school country songs that would make good old Willie Nelson proud. There is also the more standard country song Don't Be Calling Me at 4 in the Morning, and even the cool curveball of psychedelic acoustic piece of Stratosphere Blues. So he does an amazing job at, despite this being a very long listen, every song jumped to a different avenue one after another to keep things bouncy and lively. Even with all that, and that I really think there is no filler track on here, I still think it would have been better for him to separate this into two records and release them within a year or so. Like a Load Reload, or more specifically a Mesmerize Hypnotize scenario. Sure, releasing this as an old school vinyl double album is fine, the lack of concept and identity make it kind of overwhelming. I think it would have been better to divide it into, making them more punchy and snappy, but even though it drags it down a bit, it is in reality not a real issue. He made it work really well, and I was surprised and pleased with his musical skill and talent to create songs under a different style. Definitely gonna check him out again, and apparently his live shows are a goddamn rager, so I might get a ticket if he ever comes close to me. Billy String's Highway Prayers gets a 9.1 out of 10.